Morning. Turn with me in your Bibles. We'll use Bibles today. It's not Bibles. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Go ahead and open that up with me. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 most of the time this morning. I've got a couple other verses we'll look at as we go, but they are, I'll put them up on the screen so you can kind of stay in Ephesians chapter 4. Mostly I'm just going to try and stay out of Paul's way and let him explain what he's got here in chapter 4. If you recall, our theme last year was in the world, not of the world. And I think we all kind of learned a lot and talked a lot about how that impacted us this past year with a lot of things that were going on. And we kind of expect not to fit in with the world. I think if we're looking at the world as it is, if we're looking at our calling as it is, then we should have some kind of expectation that we're going to be left out and that we're going to expect to feel some kind of disconnection with people because we've got conflicting values. So we kind of anticipate that we go out into the world that we're not going to fit in quite right. But we should fit in here among our brethren. In fact, David says in Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So David says it's good and it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you look at verse 3, Paul talks about the same idea. He calls it the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that's really what we're talking about this morning, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And ideally, we should feel, while we feel that disconnect with the world, we should feel connection with each other. We should feel connection with our brethren, but we don't always. And have you ever left an interaction with a brother or sister in Christ without feeling that was good or pleasant? I think we've all had that kind of experience from time to time. And so I want to talk this morning about why you might sometimes feel disconnected, why that might happen, that you sometimes feel disconnection instead of this sense of unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and what to do about that. So there are two necessities for unity spelled out here by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. So starting in verse 1, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So in the first two verses, he spells out what's necessary for unity. So we got to have these things in order to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And those two things are a worthy walk, as he says in verse 1, a walk worthy of the calling to which you were called, and brotherly love, which he explains with lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And that's it. Sermon over, right? Worthy walk, brotherly love, that's where unity comes from. Which sounds really simple, but there's a lot packed into these ideas, right? The same as it's really easy to get from my house to Los Angeles, California. It's probably easier to get from my house to Los Angeles than anybody else's, because you only have to take four turns. You take a right on Grove, and a first left onto Lake, a left onto 301 North, and then a left onto, almost going in a circle, a left onto I-10 West, and that's it. Really, really easy. It's just 2,124 miles and 32 hours of driving. But super easy. Sounds simple, right? But there's much more to it. Because how do you walk worthy of the calling? How do I do that? Well, I know I have to maintain unity. And if I'm feeling disconnected, then that is might be an issue. But how do I do that? How do I show brotherly love? How do you show brotherly love? I know I need to for there to be unity in the Spirit, but how? And how do we connect together in the unity in the Spirit? How does that happen? And so Paul, in the rest of the book, we're going to stick with chapter 4 today, but in the rest of this chapter, he tells us. So Paul, like any kind of good manual, has given us a troubleshooting guide for disconnect here in chapter 4. You know, if you buy something and they put together a good manual and it's not working, you can turn to the troubleshooting section and can say, all right, we'll try this thing. All right, we'll check this. And you do these things and it's still not working, well, then it's just broken, right? But you can go down this list and you can see what's going on. So if you're feeling disconnected, or if you find yourself in a situation where you start to feel disconnected, then Paul's going to explain what we can do about that. And so I want you to think about if you're feeling disconnected now, or in anticipation of some time where you might feel that, ask yourself these questions. So number one, are you fully committed to the one faith? Is that your full commitment? Because as Paul goes on to say in verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Lots of ones in there. All right, Paul pointing out, what is it that unites us? What is it that brings us together in that unity of the Spirit? Well, it's one. It's one thing. Because to unite in the Spirit, we must be united in the same Spirit, hope, Lord, faith, baptism, and God. Right? We are brought together by a singular thing. And it's this one God, this one Lord, this one hope. It's what brings us together. If you joined a gluten-free baking group on Facebook, you would not add a comment, this would taste better with wheat flour. If you joined a softball league, you would not be surprised when no one wanted to play flag football. Because they came together for a singular thing. And that's what's happened here. We've come together, the people of God have come together for a singular purpose. Because there is one calling. There is one faith that we're all committed to. And unity in the faith, in the Spirit, can only come from unity in the faith. There's no other way for us to have unity in the Spirit unless we are united in that one faith. Unless that's what's we have all committed ourselves fully to. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? You can imagine two people trying to take a walk together and they want to go in different directions. They're not going to walk together. There can be no unity unless they both have agreed. Well, we're going to walk there. If they've agreed on where they can walk, then they can have unity. We think about that idea of one Lord. We can't have different Lords, right? Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two different Lords, because at some point, one of these Lords is not going to be served. And so there can only be unity if we all agree that we're going to serve the same Lord. And so if you're feeling disconnected, make sure that you're fully committed to the one faith. Start with that, which is exactly where Paul starts. If you're not in the one faith, or if you have not surrounded yourself with people of the one faith, then you need to look somewhere else. But if you're not fully committed to that one faith, then, yeah, there's going to be some disconnect. You're going to feel some disconnection from that. And if you're not, then again, you can't have unity with those who do. If we're serving a Lord and I decide to serve someone else, then I can't expect to have unity with that. If I decide to serve myself, there's no way I can have unity with you in that. The next question to ask yourself is, are you serving? We'll read verses 7 through 16 now. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working which by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So he talks a lot here about service, about serving. So the question is, are you serving? Because you can't be united in the Spirit if you're not willing to serve. Because service is a hallmark of Christianity. It's what Christianity is built on is service. In John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, then my Father will honor. And we obviously have the example of Jesus. Anytime the apostles started to talk about who is greatest, he always brought them back to who is serving. He showed them the example, cleaning their feet, washing their feet, to show them how he had humbled himself and how service was essential for service to God. And what if we all waited to be served? That's obviously not the pattern of what Christ has shown. Christ who first served and came to serve. Now, if you look at verse 11, you might start to take yourself off the hook here, right? He gave some to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You might say, okay, well, I'm not on that list, right? So I guess I'm kind of excused from that. But obviously that's not the case, because unity comes from everyone supplying what they can, which is why verse 16 says the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every Christian is expected to serve, and every Christian needs to do what they can to serve, whether big or small. And the Bible is full of small service that led to big things. A boy gave up his lunch on the side of the sea, and 5,000 people were fed. That's all he did, was like, hey, you can have this for whatever it's worth. Someone prepared the donkey that Jesus rode on going into Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. Jesus specifically said that this donkey has been prepared. Someone did it. Someone prepared the upper room where the Lord's Supper was established. Someone did it. We don't know who they were, but if they hadn't done it, then the room wouldn't have been ready. And Jesus wouldn't have been able to establish the Lord's Supper. Someone did these things. People do their things, whatever it is that they can do. And so if you're feeling disconnected, I realize I'm repeating Jerry here because he talks about this a lot, but start serving in any way you can. However you can serve, encourage people, or visit people, or show hospitality, or send cards, or just show up to worship and learn. You know, sometimes it's just getting here for some people is difficult. I think I've mentioned her before, but Cindy Lingerfelt, we worshiped with in Tallahassee. She was dying of breast cancer, and the only service she missed was the day she died. And I know that was difficult. She was in a lot of pain, but she made it. And that was encouraging to see her there. That was uplifting for everybody. That was her service, because that's what she could do. I know that getting ready in the morning for me is easier than it is. I'm going to pick on you, Miss Edna, than it is for you. And I can drive myself, and that's pretty easy for me to get here. But I also know that Miss Edna being here is an encouragement to all of us. So we serve in whatever way we can. If it's big, if it's small, if I'm feeling disconnected, then it might be because I'm not serving. And I need to find a way that I can serve, and I need to start doing it. Are you growing up? Looking back at verses 13 through 16, He says, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So he talks about growing up, gaining maturity, right? Growing up in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. What are the shared interests of 20-year-olds and 5-year-olds? You know, when you see a 5-year-old and a 20-year-old just chatting it up, what are they talking about? Nothing. Because there's no shared interest between 20-year-olds and 5-year-olds. Right? When you grow up, you're not interested in the same things. Right? Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Right? When a child matures, their interests change. And the same thing happens for Christians. As we mature, our interests change. We should be getting more and more focused on God, drawing closer and closer to Christ. But if you refuse to grow, then you're going to find it difficult to connect with those who are growing. Like that 5-year-old trying to hold a conversation with a 20-year-old. You're going to find it difficult because you might have refused to grow. So if you're not growing and those around you are trying to grow, then you might feel some disconnect there. And you're going to need to grow up. Same as if you went to high school and wanted to see if everybody wanted to play with your baby rattle with you. Right? That's a ridiculous idea. But that's the idea here. Right? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The way I'm going to grow up is I'm going to grow by knowledge and application of the word of God. That's the only way it happens. That's the only way that we mature. And otherwise, I'm going to be this child that's being tossed around by false teaching, by false ideas. But I need to grow and I need to mature with the knowledge and application of the word of God. So if you're feeling disconnected, then make sure that you're turning to the word of God for growth. That instead of being satisfied with the milk basic principles, that you're looking to grow into the solid food through study and application. And don't pass up an opportunity to learn and grow. If you have a chance to study, to learn, to grow, then take it. Because others are and are trying to grow. And I'm going to feel some disconnect if I'm not trying to grow as well. If I'm not trying to put away childish things and trying to mature in the Word of God. Are you putting off the old man and putting on the new man? Starting in verse 17 through 24, he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This happened a number of times when Kate was doing soccer, but every once in a while, someone would show up in the wrong color uniform. It was a red jersey day and they wore their white jersey, or it was white jersey day and they wore their red. I'm sure it never happened to anybody in this room. But you feel a little bit out of place. Everybody gets a little panicky. You know, parents are trying to figure out if someone else brought extra jerseys, and people wear their younger brother's jersey shirt sometimes. You try and figure it out, but you're out of place. You feel out of place because you're not wearing what everybody else is wearing. And unity happens in the Spirit when everyone's putting on the same thing. And that's the new man. When we're all committed to putting on the new man, then we're going to be in place. Because the fact is, we're going to feel out of place when we're holding on to that old man. When we haven't taken off that old man and put on the new man, we're not going to fit in with others that are putting on the new man. Just like if you wore shorts to a formal wedding or a funeral, you're going to feel out of place. It's not going to seem right, because the truth is the body of Christ has a dress code. You can't wear the old man. You can't wear futility of your mind, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from God, having no remorse, walking in lewdness, uncleanness, being corrupted by deceitful lust. You can't do that. You can't show up in that. It's unacceptable. You have to dress like the new man. You have to be renewed in your mind, committed to righteousness and holiness. But the fact is that you're going to feel disconnected when you're still holding on to and glorifying sin. If you're going to hold on to sin, then you're going to feel disconnected from those who are putting on the new man. It's just going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Right. So he says the same kind of idea here. Right. You've got to put off that old man and put on the new man. And here Paul says, look, you don't even get the right to say what you wear, because you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. God bought you. God bought your body. God bought you for righteousness and to do what's right. Righteousness and holiness. It's what you've been purchased for. You don't have a right to go and continue to live like the old man. So if you're feeling disconnected, recognize that you were bought at a price and your body belongs to God. Put off the old man of sin and put on the new man of righteousness and holiness. One more question. Are you loving your brother? We'll go back to verse 2 and get some of the detail out of that. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Skipping out now to verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, my class, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we often get things backward when we're dealing with one another. What we think will work is you loving me more. I think that that is going to solve the problem. If you will just love me more, then we won't have an issue here. But how much do I need from you to make that work? What actually works and what we're commanded to do is that I need to love you more. That's the answer. That's the solution. I don't need to get you to love me more, which is why Jesus never commands people to make others love us, but he commands us to love each other. If I love you, then these issues are not going to be such a big deal. That's what I need to do, is I need to love you more. So how do you love your brother? Well, lots of ways. So lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, as we read in verse 2. Right? Humility. I have to lower my opinion of myself. I have to bring myself down. I have to show gentleness towards my brothers, not to be harsh with them. I have to be patient and bear with you. So not be quick to frustration and try to understand what you're saying, what's happening with you. I need to try to understand that. You need to speak truthfully. Speak no corrupt word, but what is good for edification that will impart grace to the hearers. From verse 25 and from verse 29. we cannot connect with each other when we're lying. Lying is the opposite of connection. There's no real connection there. It's false. And so I have to give that up. And if I feel like I need to lie to my brethren, then that's a big sign that there's something wrong with my walk. I'm not walking worthy if I feel like I have to lie to my brethren, or I'm not showing brotherly love. And I need to use my speech, whatever I say to my brethren, to encourage, uplift, edify, strengthen, and impart grace. That's what I need to use my mouth for. And I need to put away anger in verses 26 and 27, and then as he talks about in verse 31. I can't dwell on anger. Right? That's what he talks about in 26 and 27. Don't give place to the devil. The devil thrives on bitterness. So I can't give place to him by dwelling on my anger. I've got to put away anger in all its forms. Right? That's from verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. Every form of anger, I've got to put it away. Because I can't love you like I'm supposed to if I'm going to hold on to my anger. I can't love you like I'm supposed to if I'm going to be quick to anger. I have to move beyond that. Be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving, as he says in verse 32. I need to be moved by the troubles of my brethren. When I hear about what they're going through, that needs to move me. I can't be cold about that. I have to show kindness. I have to desire the best for them. I have to incline myself towards mercy, grace, and helpfulness. And I can't hold on to wrongs. I can't hold on to anger, and I can't hold on to wrongs. I need to be eager to forgive. So if you're feeling disconnected, then show more love to your brethren. Lower your opinion of yourself, but increase patience and kindness for others. Speak only truth and uplifting words. Think and expect the best from your brothers. Do I think and expect all my brothers the best? When they say something, when they do something, do I think and expect the best of them? And do I put away my anger and be quick to forgive? So are you feeling disconnected? Maybe you are. Maybe you have in the past felt some disconnection. Or you're not seeing that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. You need to focus on walking worthy of the calling and showing brotherly love. And you keep yourself distant and disconnected if you're not working hard on these things. Fully committing to the faith, serving, growing up, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and loving your brother. If you're not working hard on those things, you can expect to feel some disconnect from people who are, from those who are. But the good thing is, Paul has spelled out things to do, practical ways that you can solve that feeling of disconnection. And if you finish with chapter 4 and you're still feeling it, move on into chapter 5 and 6. We're not going to cover all that this morning. But there's more, right? These are just some of the ways. But there's always a reason when we're feeling disconnected. There's always a reason. And God has the solution. God has provided the solution for that. It involves turning back to Him. And so the even more dangerous than a lack of connection with my brethren is a lack of connection with God. And if I haven't been obedient to that one faith, then I'm disconnected from God. And if you are disconnected from God by not having been obedient to that one faith, then we offer an invitation to you to respond to that faith, to be obedient to it, to experience that one baptism and to walk in that new life, to put on that new man. Or if you've been disconnected and you need to repent, or you would like prayers as you reconnect with us, with God, then if you're subject to the invitation in any way, I ask you to come forward while we stand and sing.